You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You might have come across this really alarming stat that social isolation is more lethal than smoking 15 cigarettes a day. We're looking at the loneliness epidemic in just a moment. First, we're checking in on our year-end member drive. I'm here with Michael Arnold. Good morning.
Good morning.
This year-end member drive is your chance to support the programs that you count on every day here on the Ideas Network, programs that keep you in touch and informed, inspired. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important as we end this year and we look forward to 2020.
And last hour, we met our goal. Sweet. We had some really great response from new and returning members. Thanks so much for those gifts. But right now, we have a special opportunity. When you make a gift of any amount, the Merle M. Gunther Memorial Fund will donate an additional $100 for every pledge. So that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. So you give a gift and then you add $100 to that from the Merle M. Gunther, who is a generous listener and avid Badger fan. This is their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Increase the impact of your gift right now. Bring it up $100 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Every dollar makes a difference, and you are powerful because people who listen, you provide the most significant share of funding for WPR programs. We wouldn't be able to have the conversations we have on the Ideas Network without your support. We wouldn't be able to bring you the latest news and live coverage of different issues without your support. Your donation is an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
Your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and for everyone in your orbit, in your community. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And everybody who gives now, right now, during this hour, will get an additional $100 added on top of their pledge from the Merle M. Gunther Memorial Fund. So take advantage of that now. You have to do it during this hour. Whether you tune in for one favorite program or find yourself checking in throughout the week, you rely on WPR. Make that pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You're going to love being a WPR member.
We have an exciting drawing this drive. Donate any amount and you could win a Sonos One smart speaker. What would you listen to?
I like audiobooks, so I would pick out one of my favorite books, probably Jane Austen, Pride and Prejudice, or Sense and Sensibility, and listen to that.
The WPR Politics Podcast?
Well, every morning I listen to the New York Times The Daily, so that would probably be the first thing that I would queue up. Hear a little Michael Barbaro.
Five lucky winners will enjoy hands-free voice command access to music, programs, and podcasts from WPR and more with this smart speaker. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find all the smart speaker giveaway rules and details at WPR.org/drawing. You can't win if you don't enter, so make your gift of any amount right now. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Hi, I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Michael Arnold, and it is your support during this year-end member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. Your gift right now of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, it goes up by $100 thanks to this challenge, and that is the right amount.
That is the right amount. Giving to WPR is easy, too. It only takes a couple minutes. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount of your gift, how much you'd like to pay.
It takes just a few minutes to make your contribution right now to Wisconsin Public Radio. Critical time to do it, and those few minutes fund your daily listening. Your support right now, it makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this is a great time to donate because every pledge that is made this hour, WPR will receive an additional $100 per pledge. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You can increase the impact of your support for WPR as we head into the new year.
So huge. And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, you have five chances to win that Sonos One Smart Speaker. No contribution necessary. All the details are at WPR.org/drawing. Better yet, you're automatically entered. heard when you give any amount right this very moment at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers making ongoing monthly gifts, you are automatically entered.
888-202-2552 is the number. Online, you can go to WPR.org. However you do it, your gift is incredibly powerful. It supports this valuable service that Wisconsin Public Radio brings you every day. Listener support, the single largest source of funding. So thanks so much for your support this morning.
Loneliness increases inflammation and heart disease and dementia. And in recent years, a researcher out of Brigham Young University, she turned heads with a study saying it's more lethal than obesity, more lethal than smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Are you someone who feels lonely? What makes you feel that way? Do you live alone? Does that contribute to your feeling of isolation? Join in, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Dr. Omar Manajawala is a psychiatrist and chief medical officer for the health services management firm Catasys, and he recently wrote about how healthcare professionals can help end the loneliness epidemic. Dr. Manajawala, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. It's such a pleasure to be with you, and thank you for covering this important topic.
Well, tell us about what's at stake here. Why is loneliness an epidemic?
Yeah, so this is, as you mentioned, it's been covered in the media quite a bit. Of course, loneliness is a universal human phenomenon. It's not anything new, but there is a lot of evidence that it's getting worse. And there's a lot of speculation as to why. Some people think that it's shrinking social networks, and it is true that our social networks have shrunk by about a third over the last 30 years. Others think it's the gig economy. People point to social media and other contributors. Some have written about political tribalism as being a driver of this. That whatever it is and however it is that these factors conspire to make us lonely, it really is an epidemic. It's getting worse, and it has all of the health concerns that you mentioned, very, very dramatic health concerns that you mentioned, as well as psychological concerns and impacts on mental health and many other areas.
You've been thinking about what the medical community should be doing here at this point. What would you suggest?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is really tough because, you know, people who are lonely actually may be seeing their providers more often rather than less often. So they may not always, but there is evidence that they do see physicians more often. And so that's more of an opportunity to intervene. But of course, it's really hard to do that because people don't get to spend a lot of time with their doctors. So it's going to be increasingly important that we use the supports within the health system, but also, for example, technology and ancillary services. So, for example, like where I'm at Catasys, we use care coaches, we use technology to try to identify it, and really also intervene on some of the drivers or determinants of loneliness. So for example, social determinants of health are something that the healthcare community is focusing on a lot. So food insecurity, housing, domestic partner violence, and more it's becoming clear that this isn't just a health system's, you know, responsibility to solve, but it's really a joint responsibility between healthcare, between physicians, between communities. But we really do have to come together in a collaborative way to do that.
Let's bring in a call now. Lisa is joining us from Janesville. Hi, Lisa. What are your thoughts on loneliness?
Well, as I lived in England for 2.5 years, and while there, I volunteered with an organization called Age UK. And we were matched with an individual in the community, and the role was just to visit with an elderly person a couple of hours a week who was homebound, dealing with loneliness. You know, beneficial for me, too. I got to talk with a woman who lived through World War II, talked about how, you know, she was in the underground during in London during the raids. Just amazing stories. It kept people out of nursing homes. They didn't need as much medication. It was just an amazing program, and beneficial for both of us.
Was that program run through the government by chance, or was it through like a nonprofit organization?
It was run through the government, uh-huh. and it was passed into the local communities. So I lived in Kenilworth, England, and so I worked with the Age UK that was in Kenilworth. But yes, it was run through the government.
Dr. Manajawala, you know, the UK has really been a leader on
That's
this
right.
loneliness epidemic. What do you see
That's
there?
Right. Yeah, so, and, you know, the UK actually appointed a minister for loneliness. I think that was back in January of 2018. And your caller, Lisa, is exactly right, which is, you know, the role of people connecting, serving as a friend, listening is very powerful. We use care coaches and community care coordinators for that, but there's a variety of ways of solving it. But what she describes, which is an opportunity for connection, and it's not just, and many people get confused about this. It's not about the number of contacts you have or friends. It's not about the number of groups per se. You can be alone in a crowded room. You can be alone even though you may know many people. But it's about meaningful connection. As she mentioned, it's about a sense of purpose. It's also about feeling understood. And it's really an opportunity not just to, and a lot of people think it's really just to receive love and affection, but it's also the opportunity to give love and affection that it turns out is very important for solving this. So creating an environment where it's possible for people to connect and address these areas is really the best approach. So you're exactly right. UK has been a leader in this, and we have catching up to do.
We're talking about the loneliness epidemic with psychiatrist Omar Manajawala. During the holidays, do you feel more alone? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the health effects of living in isolation, as nearly one out of three older Americans now lives alone. But right now, let's check in on our year-end membership drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Michael Arnold, and it is you that make the Ideas Network programs possible when you give during this year-end member drive. Join in, support the programs you rely on all year long with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And the Memorial Fund for Merle M. Gunther, which is remembering a generous listener and avid Badger fan, is offering a great opportunity this hour. We can raise $4,000 additional dollars for WPR in the next hour if you take advantage of this, because everybody who donates this hour will get an additional $100 added to their pledge, which means that if we meet our goal, which is 38 more pledges, we will get $4,000 on top of what your support is right now. So increase the impact of your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you listen to the shows on the Ideas Network, you participate in this statewide kitchen table conversations that we love here. You hear from experts. You also learn from the interesting and diverse experiences of your neighbors all over the state.
And you become a more well-rounded person every day because you hear different viewpoints. You hear different perspectives, full of things to think and talk about because you value the fact that you're well-informed, you're hearing conversations with lots of different viewpoints, and it keeps you connected. Make your gift now. This radio is only possible with your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make an ongoing gift of $15 or $20 a month, whatever amount is right for you. Set it, and then set it up on your credit or debit card. Better yet, right from your bank account. It's what we call a sustaining gift. Be a sustainer. And the beauty of it is that you don't have to remember to renew your support every year.
That's right. And everybody who pledges right now will get an additional $100 added thanks to the Merle M. Gunther Memorial Fund. $100 added to each pledge this hour. So become a sustainer now. Set up your ongoing gift. Take advantage of that additional matching grant at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This season, your gift to WPR can also feed people all over the state of Wisconsin. Give $10 or $20 a month to support your favorite WPR programs and help feed those facing hunger in your area. Do two good things with your gift to WPR right now when you choose one of the food bank gifts. Here's how.
go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in the support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Michael Arnold on this morning. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. Whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we absolutely appreciate and we count on your gift.
And it's a great time to take advantage of a special matching gift. If you make a pledge at any amount today, right now, we will add an additional $100 to the total thanks to the Merle Gunther Memorial Fund. The day is young. Make a difference before you leave the house. Donate to Wisconsin Public Radio now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you'll have made a great start to your day.
And remember, this is what's going on right now. This hour, WPR will receive an additional $100 when you donate right now, this hour, now. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and increase the impact of your support for WPR as we head into the new year.
And one tradition we have here at Wisconsin Public Radio is realizing that it's not just about us, because if you choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you'll make a difference by helping people facing hunger in your area.
And if you're a sustaining member, make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we know it's the morning. It takes a little while to get fully booted up. This is a great way to practice. Call 888-202-2552. The friendly person will take your donation no matter how tired you sound. Or you can go online at WPR.org. Make a pledge now and thanks.
We're talking about how loneliness is this quiet health epidemic and how the medical community is responding. Isolation hits older Americans really hard. According to federal data, more than 4 in 10 seniors reported feeling lonely on a regular basis. Do you work in healthcare and see patients who exhibit signs of being isolated? Maybe you work at a skilled nursing facility. How do you help patients and residents through this health crisis we're seeing? We're at 800-642-1234. And psychiatrist Omar Manajawala stays with us. Dr. Manajawala, before we get more into the elderly populations, what are you seeing in the very younger adults, the Generation Z, and their thoughts on loneliness and what they're experiencing?
Yeah, so they really are experiencing loneliness at the highest rates. They're the loneliest generation, according to a recent Cigna study. And that may be a little surprising, since we usually think of the elderly as lonely. It's also true that loneliness is more frightening to younger generations. In fact, there was a study that came out that showed that 42% of millennial women are more afraid of loneliness than a cancer diagnosis.
Wow.
So it is, fear is not good for you. So we do see, less work connection, as I mentioned. People tend to work from home. And then we also see, now there is not a connection broadly between social media use and loneliness, which will surprise some of your listeners, but at the extreme, sort of more extreme users of social media are more likely to experience loneliness. So there's a lot of factors that really conspire to drive that, but I think it's really important with suicide epidemics and other factors that we're seeing not to forget considering younger people when you think about loneliness.
Well, let's bring in Lori now in Green Bay. Hi, Lori.
Hello.
What's on your mind about loneliness?
Well, you just kind of addressed what I was going to bring up, because the previous caller right away went to the elderly population. I think elderly people are better able to cope with loneliness. I work in the schools, and there is a mass population of lost and lonely youngsters. So I think that we really need to consider in our country what's going on for the younger population and just the middle-aged people. Myself, I'm going to be 59, and I have experienced 20 years of isolation and loneliness because I had to raise my kids by myself. And my health has definitely suffered from it. I think in this country, we don't appreciate the fact that you can live amongst people and be part of nothing and feel totally alone. So I hope that the programs will address issues for middle-aged and, you know, any age, really.
Lori, how are you?
Especially our young people.
Yeah, Lori, how are you doing today?
Well, actually, I suffer from functional depression. I believe I have actually become borderline personality. So I am educated. I do have a psychology minor, so I am somewhat able to deal with it myself. But it really worries me that I see it out there so much more in younger people and students. And the suicide rate is unbelievably high.
And Lori, I have to pause right here. I'm sorry, Lori. Dr. Manajawala, what is the impact on mental health when you combined it with other things, layering it on to isolation?
Yeah, sure. And first, let me say, you know, I applaud Lori because being able to talk about this is so important. Mental health conditions in general have such a stigma. So for her to face this head on, to ask for help, to talk about it is really what we need. And so that type of courage, I think, is going to move the entire dialogue forward. To answer your question, Kate, we're seeing a lot of overlap between mental health conditions, behavioral health conditions, and loneliness. We're seeing that one exacerbates the other vice versa. And this is a time of the year with the holidays where we see exacerbation of that as well. So there's a very tight relationship between both of those. And to be very frank, you can't expect to solve one without solving the other.
Well, Dr. Omar Manajawala, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, Kate.
Dr. Omar Manajawala is Chief Medical Officer for a health services management firm. He's been writing about the loneliness epidemic. Coming up, Wisconsin had renewed debate this year over whether to legalize medical marijuana. We look at what's at stake for people with debilitating conditions. That's after this news update. Stay with us here on this Ideas Network. Wisconsin is being described as an island. Three out of its four surrounding states have either legalized marijuana for medical use or for full recreational use. We're going to break down all of that in a moment. But first, let's check in on our year-end member drive. I'm here with Michael Arnold. Good morning.
Good morning.
So this is our year-end member drive. Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported, and your gift right now will ensure the programs you rely on have a strong start in 2020. You make WPR programs possible as we head into the new year when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kate, we have a special opportunity right now. It's a great time to donate because of the Merle M. Gunther Memorial Fund, which is remembering a generous listener and an avid Badger fan. That fund will add an extra $100 to every gift.
Every single gift. Yes.
Every gift. Doesn't matter what you pledge. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. You can boost the impact of your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
One of the beautiful things that happens every day here on the Ideas Network is that we come together as a family here in Wisconsin, and we hear from listeners all over the state, callers asking really great questions of the guests we bring here on the Ideas Network. And the conversation we just had on loneliness and the thoughts of people as they go through their lives, whether they're here in Wisconsin and in Janesville or in England, and bringing that all to the table and having this conversation, it is so amazing. These are the things you count on from the morning show.
And they wouldn't be possible without the support of listeners. WPR is listener supported. What does that mean? Well, it basically means that most of the money that helps the programs come from you. Your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the topics you tune into every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
And we have this great opportunity right at this moment. from the Merle M. Gunther Memorial Fund. So this fund is going to donate an additional $100 when you give right now this hour. A $100 bonus, if you will, added onto your gift. Increase the impact of your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is, I mean, it is Wisconsin. I moved here from another state, and that was my introduction to Wisconsin. And every day, that's how I know what's going on in Wisconsin. On a monthly basis, I'm contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio. When I hear them talk about sustaining members, I realize that's me. And I kind of like that. Contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio makes you feel like you're part of a family or like a community. That's how I feel every month. And even if they're just giving a small amount, they could feel that way too. I'm Bridget from Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Join Bridget at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer Kent here with Michael Arnold. Listener support, that is the biggest chunk of funding for the WPR programs you rely on, and that is why your support during this year-end member drive is so critical. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Each and every gift is going to go up by an additional $100 at this moment. You choose the right amount.
And you ever have one of those moments where you have buyer's remorse? Like one time I bought a bowling pin for like $50.
You did?
And instantly afterwards, I thought, why did I spend $50 on a bowling pin? Well, once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for. You don't have buyer remorse. And WPR is one of those places where that's true every day. Consider a gift of $2 a day, for example, to support the radio programs you love.
It is hard to buy much for $2 a day, although you can get a couple Snickers bars out of that. But at you would know the exact amount. But at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of the news and the talk and the music possible. That works out to $60 a month. You can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you will be happy knowing that you supported something that's bringing you something valuable every day. And remember, this hour, WPR will receive an additional $100 when you donate. Give now at any level at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you'll increase your impact of your support for WPR as we head into the new year.
Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. Marijuana or cannabis is the most commonly used illicit drug in our country. And in an advisory issued earlier this year, our U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams said today's marijuana is much stronger.
The marijuana of today is fundamentally different than in decades past or even just a few years ago. It's significantly more potent and it can be further concentrated for use, a combination that can harm the developing brain.
And so this comes just as many states loosen restrictions around its medicinal and recreational use. Have you had negative experiences with marijuana? What precautions do you think need to be taken before legalizing it? We're at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 to join the conversation. Dee Hall is managing editor of the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. And this center has been really on top of marijuana. It has nearly a year-long reporting series called The Cannabis Question. Dee, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
So last month we saw this bipartisan group of lawmakers propose legalizing medical marijuana in Wisconsin. There is some pushback there. Where do these proposals stand?
Well, right now we have the legislature is run by Republican leaders. We have one Republican leader who has in the assembly, Robin Voss, has signaled he's open to this idea. However, the leader of the Senate, Senator Fitzgerald, has indicated that he has no interest in loosening any marijuana laws. So any measure like this would have to go through both houses. So it's really unclear what the path forward would be for the legislation.
Do we see any bipartisanship as we know right now?
There's a bit. There's a tad. There's a Republican co-sponsor on that medical marijuana bill, which is a first, I believe.
So as we see Minnesota and Illinois and Michigan, you know, getting it into the market, up and running, do you think policies in neighboring states affect what happens here in Wisconsin and the people of Wisconsin?
Well, I think it does affect the people of Wisconsin because we interviewed many people who are going across state lines, even as far as Colorado, to obtain cannabis. So I think it would affect the people of Wisconsin. Whether it's affecting the policymakers or not, I'm not sure. By the way, I should say, I'm recalling now that about 10 years ago, there was a push for medical marijuana legalization, and there were some Republican supporters at that time. So this isn't a first, but it's something that's new in the last several legislative sessions that Republicans are willing to co-sponsor a bill like this.
You've done a lot of reporting on this, talked to a lot of people, and most recently you've been looking at the dangerous side effects for certain population. Tell us about a student you met named Lena. What is her story?
So Lena is a person who was using at a certain point a lot of marijuana, both in her late teen years and her early college years. And she ended up suffering from some psychotic breaks. And it turns out that she has a severe mental illness. And what the studies have shown is that if you have a severe mental illness, you should probably avoid marijuana because it can trigger episodes. At the same time, there's a strong association between some schizophrenia, for example, and marijuana use, but it is not a causation, it is a correlation. And so scientists are still trying to piece out, you know, figure out what the connection there is.
And the Surgeon General is warning about this can impede brain development in teens.
Right. So one of the people we've quoted a lot in our series is Dr. Angela Janis, and she actually is both a psychiatrist who works here at the university, but also is the medical director for a medical cannabis company in Minnesota. She's saying that young people should simply avoid this because of the fact that their brains are developing and they could have reduced attention span, memory, and concentration.
Well, let's bring in Sam now, joining us from Verona. Hi, Sam.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I was just calling because I have a neuromotor function disorder. It's called Tourette's. I'm sure plenty of people have heard of it. I've been self-medicating for a long time, ever since I was a teenager, and it's the only thing that actually helps curb my tics. However, it can have the downside of inducing anxiety, and so that can make it kind of difficult. And as a teenager, I think being introduced to it was a good thing, but also can lead to, like, substance abuse later on in life. So I feel like it's important to understand that its needs medically, but also it definitely has the ability to be abused.
Yeah. So, Sam, how do you walk that line in your life? And considering that you've been dealing with this neuromotor function medical condition for so many years?
Honestly, I've just kind of had to come to terms with the fact that I'm considered a criminal in the United States. And I mean, that's just the way that it is. And I've had to roll that dice. But I mean, it's the only thing that works for me. The only other medicines that they prescribe for neuromotor function disorders like the one that I have are antipsychotics, which can actually make my symptoms worse. So it's just something that I've had to accept, and I make it a point to call my representatives as often as possible.
Well, Sam, Sam, thank you so much for calling in with your story. Dee, does this echo what you're hearing from your sources?
We heard a lot from a lot of people who are self-medicating with cannabis and stating that it was really the only thing that was helping them with various symptoms ranging from Crohn's disease to arthritis. In Sam's case, I should mention we do have an obscure, very few people know about it. We do have a, quote, medical marijuana law, and if you get permission from your doctor, it shields you from getting criminally prosecuted if they catch you with marijuana. But again, it doesn't help you obtain marijuana. You still would have to go out of state for that.
Talking with Dee Hall, managing editor of the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Let's go back to the phone now. Ramon in Milwaukee. Hi, Ramon.
This is Raymond.
Oh, I'm sorry. Raymond. Go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
No problem. First, let's classify the words that we're using. Marijuana, in its natural state, is an herb. It's not a drug. The good Lord put it on this earth. The derivatives from marijuana, hash oil, dabbing, whatever, I might be willing to classify those as drugs. Now, there are cultures on this planet that have used marijuana in its natural form for thousands of years. All we need to do is go to India and study those people there that have been smoking and cultivating natural marijuana for thousands of years.
I want to pause right there, Raymond, bringing up really interesting point here. First, on the research end of it, trying to do the research, but also the Surgeon General, who has said that the marijuana today is much stronger than in recent years. What do we know there, Dee?
Well, and that is a concern that the studies have shown when they've taken, this is primarily based on seized drugs that have been brought into the country or are being trafficked in the country, that the potency is up, and that is one of the concerns about marijuana, legal or illegal, when people use it in edibles, for example, a pan of brownies. You don't know what the concentration is. And that is one of the concerns about having marijuana available, which it already is available, honestly. It's just illegal. But that is one of the concerns, is what is the concentration? That could be harmful.
So because it is this illicit drug, do we see research changing in any way? Can scientists study it?
Well, it is difficult, and that's one of the challenges, is because it's a Schedule I drug, one of the most serious drugs on our scheduled drug list. It makes it very, very difficult for researchers to study it. So I think we would all like to know more about what the various components of cannabis do and their medical benefits or dangers, but it's very difficult for researchers to study right now because of the Schedule I status.
Let's go to Jeremy in Racine. Jeremy, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I agree with the CDC in regards to the brain function and how it affects young teens. Excessive use, I would have to agree with that. To go a little further in regards to it, it's far simpler for our teens and young adults to purchase cannabis off the streets than it is to walk into a liquor store and buy a case of beer. So by moving forward and legalizing it in this current environment, when you have states all around Wisconsin who are legalized, it would behoove the Senate and Congress of state to start thinking about regulating this and legalizing it to keep it a little bit more controlled and out of the kids' hands, make it more difficult for them to get it.
Jeremy, thank you for that comment. And you actually invited State Representative Melissa Sargent to come to speak to your class.
Right.
What did she have to say?
Well, she's been a leading proponent in the assembly for legalization. She herself is not a marijuana user, but she's heard from a lot of her constituents, which is on the east side of Madison, that they use it for a variety of reasons. She's focused on broad legalization, but a lot of the compelling arguments that she's heard in favor have to do with medical marijuana use. I did want to mention to Jeremy, it feels like he read our story, because that is one thing that they have found in legalized states. Even when recreational marijuana is legalized, the use among young people does not increase. In fact, sometimes does decrease for exactly, it is thought, the same reason he mentioned, which is you take it from being something that is, anybody who's willing to take a little bit of a risk can buy, to you have to walk into a liquor store, and that liquor store has a license, and they could lose their license if they sell to somebody who's underage. And so they've actually found in states with broad legalization that the use of marijuana among young people does not go up, and in fact, it may go down a bit.
So how do you see this issue changing or not changing in Wisconsin in the future? What happens?
Well, I think public sentiment has grown in favor of legalization over time, pretty dramatically, actually. But, like many hot button issues, the fact that a lot of people support it or oppose it does not necessarily mean the legislature is going to do anything about it. The governorship has changed. The governor is in favor of at least legalizing medical marijuana and decriminalizing marijuana possession. But so far, the Republican legislature has not taken any moves in that direction.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Dee Hall is managing editor of the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. By the way, we have a link to their series called The Cannabis Question. You can see all of their stories on the Morning Show page at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Be sure to stay with us next hour. We're talking about making friends as an adult and the trickiness of that. But right now, we're talking about our year-end member drive. I'm here with Michael Arnold. Good morning.
Morning.
So set your favorite programs up for success in 2020 with your gift during this year-end member drive. Maybe you've already given this year, or you make ongoing monthly gifts. Today, make a special year-end gift for the programs you rely on all year long. Takes just a few minutes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have a great opportunity right now from the Merle M. Gunther Memorial Fund, remembering a generous listener and an avid Badger fan. They'll donate an additional $100 when you give this hour. Increase the impact of your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last segment, we were talking about marijuana, the cannabis question series with our partners over at Wisconsin Watch. You know, these are the types of things you're talking about in your circles. We bring that to you, to Wisconsin as a whole, in these conversations here on the Ideas Network every day. These are the kinds of conversations you count on from The Morning Show.
And WPR is listener supported, which means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes those topics you tune into possible. You know, they're commercial entities that would not talk about issues like what we talk about on WPR because it's not popular. It's not like talking about Kim Kardashian or something like that. We're able to have substantive conversations largely thanks to your support. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
The season of giving, let the impact of your donation go beyond great radio to people in need in your area, in your neighborhood. Ask for one of the food bank gifts with you when you give $10 or $20 a month.
Your gift will provide meals to Wisconsin Food Bank near you. Thousands of meals have been provided thanks to the generosity of WPR listeners. You can do two good things at once right now by making your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name is Sarah, and I live in Madison, Wisconsin. I would tell a friend that they should join in listening to Wisconsin Public Radio because it's one of the coolest sources of interesting news and stories and happenings of the day. If I get those news segments during my time listening to public radio in the car, I have a pretty informed sense of what's going on in the world that day and can feel like an informed, ready-to-go citizen.
We're listener-supported radio. That means we count on money from people like you, people who rely on WPR to bring them something special every day. Go to WPR.org and click donate.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Michael Arnold. Your support during this year-end member drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And we still have a few minutes to take advantage of this special opportunity from the Merle M. Gunther Memorial Fund. Every pledge between now and the top of the hour, which would be in people speak, 8 o'clock. Sorry, I'm talking radio.
People speak.
It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Everybody who pledges in the next few minutes, basically, will get an additional $100 added to their gift. So you can boost the impact of your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you were a backseat listener growing up in your car seat, on the way to school as a kid. Maybe you found us all on your own as an adult. No matter how you first found us, you probably want to see WPR continue. It is a really important part of the fabric of Wisconsin.
And if you've never given before, now's a great time to do your part. It's never too late to make that first contribution of, say, $10 or $20 a month. It's easy and it doesn't take long. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, this hour, right now, WPR will receive an additional $100 when you donate. Give now, give your donation a boost of $100 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Right now, increase the impact of your support for WPR as we head into the new year.
And you can also say, I'm not going to take like a, one of those WPR golf carts as a thank you gift or whatever it is we're giving away. Instead, you can choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month. So rather than getting a coffee mug or a golf cart or whatever, you'll be supporting people in need in your community. So go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make a difference for WPR, and you'll also make a difference for those facing hunger in your area if you pick the food bank gift.
Your gift right now, so important. Raise it by $100 just by making your gift right now. Still time for you. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.
And I do have to make a quick correction. We do not have a WPR golf cart as a thank you gift. Sorry about that. But you can still pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.